Income tax, revised agenda, 3/14/85, 8:30 a.m., hearing room A. Public hearing and work session on HB 2164, HB 2565. Work session on SB 181, SB 182, SB 183. That's SB 189. Tape 127, side A.
Tax from the House Revenue Committee. We're going to open our meeting with a hearing on House Bill 2565. The chief sponsor, Paul Phillips, has signed up, but he's not here. So we will ask Bill Love and Terry Gerke to come forward.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson and members of the committee. Now, I'm William Love, and I'm an attorney from Portland, Oregon, and I'm here in two roles. One became I became interested in this subject, I guess, as a concerned citizen that has reason to use the tax code and the tax laws of the state. And then secondly, probably more concerned than I am, I would imagine, is Mr. Gerke, who is with us, and be happy to... I'm sorry, Paul, I knew you were here.
That's okay.
We'll gladly you.
Go ahead.
Madam,
go ahead.
Mr. Gerke, who is a long-standing friend and also a client as it relates into this particular matter, so I confess that I'm involved with two hats. It's a very short bill and simple bill, and the purpose of Section 1 is to bring the provisions with regards to refunds from the state when taxes have been overpaid, as it relates to withholding, because too much has been withheld, to bring those in sync with the rest of the general statutes that we have and eliminate the inconsistency and ambiguity and the confusion that currently exists and has created the problem involving Mr. Gerke and perhaps others. Section 2, which is the effective operating date as a feature going back, is to specifically resolve a problem that I would address on behalf of Mr. Gerke and any other persons who would be so involved. I've attached to my statement, which I will not read, and I would ask that the members of the committee might look to the schedules A, B, and C that I'll refer to briefly, because I think this tells the guts of the story and what the problem is and why we're here. The provision from ORS 305-270, which is marked A at the bottom, and up the left-hand side at the top, I mark it there. This is the general refund claim, and if you look at the heading and you look at the guts of that section, it says this applies to a refund of any tax paid to the Department of Revenue, any tax paid, and it specifically refers to ORS 316 taxes, which is the personal income tax, and then you go down to the middle of subsection 2 that I referred to, and it tells you when the claim will be filed. The claim shall be filed within the period specified in ORS 314.4151B for any taxes that's imposed under 316. This is the Uniform General Refund Tax. Then if you turn to my item B, and particularly B2, this is the 314.412 that's referred to, and you will see under the page I've labeled at the bottom B2, and up towards the top of that is sub B, and that says when you file your refund tax claim. And it said no refund shall be allowed or made after 3 years from the time the return is filed. And that's important. 3 years from the time you filed your tax return, you can file a claim for refund under these general provisions. And then it goes on with some other provisions that are not applicable to the particular question that we have here. That's the general refund claim, and anybody who's reading the tax laws, this is what they would use. I've included what is item C in the two pages, which is from the index of the ORS code, and I concede that the Department of Revenue is not responsible for the index, but if you're looking up and you're going to use the Oregon code and try to find out what is it with regard to refunds that you would have, these are the sections that you will find listed, and you will find the two that I just referred to listed. You will not find the reference to ORS 316192, which is the subject of the bill before you. So what we have, these general provisions, let's say you've got 3 years from the time you file your tax return to claim refunds, and then tucked away in the statute relating to withholding that isn't even included in the index, is 316.192 that says that the reason you're seeking a refund is because the money came to the state from withholding as distinguished from overpayment of estimated taxes or whatever. You've got a 2-year period that is triggered on the due date, not when you file it, but when you should have filed your income tax return. So that's the basic problem, and what 2565 purports to do is to make the provisions with regard to withholding consistent with the general provisions of the statute apply to any other refund claims that you're relating to the income tax code that apply to taxpayers. Now that everybody, I think, concedes that there is some inconsistency and some problems, enough so that I mentioned in my testimony that there are two other bills relating to this particular problem and trying to accomplish a comparable objective of uniformity that has already been filed. One of them is by the Department of Revenue. Now, they have a little different solution. They don't want the solution that's proposed here, but they recognize the problem and they're not consistent and they're out of sync. And the second one is filed, and I think is referred to this committee by Representative Throop on behalf of a constituent, maybe in the Bend area, at least it's so indicated. So the problem does exist, and inconsistency does exist, and this has created the particular situations that I'll refer to with regard to Mr. Gerke. His particular situation was, whatever reason, and I've summarized this bottom of page 2, top page 3 of my testimony, is that as part of his tax planning and to force some savings and control and so on, he and his wife had overpaid the income taxes, and they did not file income tax returns deliberately because they were led to believe, or at least had the perception, that they would not be penalized if they didn't do so, as long as they had overpaid their taxes, and as long they sought a refund, they could file that at any time, and they'd have a period of time when they filed their income tax return. They did the same thing with the federal, ascertained from the federal that they could not delay it in this particular manner, so within the time frame did file and did get the refunds back from the federal. The state of Oregon has, in their case, some $18,000, almost $500 over 4 years of taxes to be refunded, and we've had certain discussions with the department. And the people in the department basically, you know, say that, look, we've got this ORS 316192 that applies to withholding, and we sympathize with you, we understand it, but the legislature put this in, and the legislature, the Riemann's got to work it out, and that is why we're, Madam Chairperson and members of the committee, that's why we're before you today with this bill. It's to work it out on the legislative front. Now, I'm certain that there are not very many taxpayers out there, maybe a few others, in Mr. Gerke's position, because as we all know, most people have refunds coming, can't wait to file them fast enough to get the money back. So we're not talking about something that has a great amount of revenue impact with the state of Oregon. It does have a great amount of revenue impact for people position of Mr. and Mrs. Gerke. My concern is that we do have an admitted confusion in the tax law that I think should obviously be made consistent. I think also that where confusion exists, that they ought to be resolved in favor of the taxpayer. The taxpayers don't write these laws. The taxpayers have to be subjected to them. And in this case, it's very painful in the Department of Revenue. I fully understand how they would do that, and I think a lot of lawyers would, unless they look far enough, would say, well, these are the refund provisions, this is what applies, and they overlook ORS 316192, and they don't give that kind of advice. So what we're seeking here today is, in a very simple manner, to bring the withholding provisions in sync with the rest of the code, the general provisions relating to this particular subject matter, and to make it retroactive so that people like Yerkes who have relied, I guess, on the general provisions or information given to them by the general provisions are not penalized, but the state of Oregon admittedly has funds that do an owing to them. And with that, unless anyone has any particular questions, I think that's my testimony, or if you have any questions, either myself or Mr. Gierke, why we would be happy to answer those questions.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hugo.
Mr. Lott, I'd like to ask you to argue anyone else's case, but we have before us 2565, and as you point out in your testimony, we have 2788 and 179 addressing the same problem. We don't have the other two bills before us yet. Your proposed solution differs, I would assume, from the other two proposed solutions. Could you tell us the differences in those?
Yeah. Basically, at least the Department of Revenue bill, which is the Senate bill, differs in the sense that they would reach the other conclusion. They would take the rest of the tax laws, or the at least the estimated tax laws, and bring it into sync with 316192 and have the period run from 2 years when you should have filed your return, or whatever that period of time is. They are trying to get the uniformity, but they're trying to base it on 316192. The other bill, I don't have him before me either, but it purports to recognize the inconsistencies and to refer to them in the statutes, and I think it increases the 2 years to 3 years or makes some other modification in what is now 316192. But the purpose of both of them would be to provide consistency. None of them deal with the retroactive effect that I have referred to here, and they come down with a different conclusion. My basic thought would be that a general rule, I assume it's satisfactory. State has the testimony, has the money, has had the use of the money. I don't see any reason why you have a period of time triggered off filing of the tax return. That shouldn't be fair for both sides. If the person is late filing the tax return and owes money, they're going to be penalized for it. If they did it deliberately, they're all other kind of penalties it could have. But if they're not, if they don't owe money, then it's just a question of accounting for how much taxes they're due and owing.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hugo.
Another question. It appears that someone who is overpaid could go through the process without ever filing a tax return, and at some point convenient to the taxpayer, file a return. Is that the intent? Or is that an accurate assessment?
Well, it would appear, I mean, the law today would be that if a taxpayer overpays, say, by paying too much estimated tax return, and they never file the tax return, the time period doesn't run, they can go back and file it, and get the refund of the taxes. And the time the state of Oregon has had it, and the period of time doesn't run, and that's what the general law is today. And I don't see any distinction between estimated taxes and withholding taxes, other than perhaps some administrative differences inside of the department. But from the standpoint of the public, from the standpoint of philosophy, from the standpoint of policy, you know, money is money, the taxes have been paid, and most of it comes out of payroll withholding, and that's the taxpayer's money. That's not the employer's money. The taxpayer's earned it, and it's in the state coffers. And I don't see why you can't have a consistent period, and why the period of time for the refunds can't be triggered off of when the return is in fact filed. But the answer to your question is, today, that can be done unless you're withholding, in which case they, in the administrative departments, they refer to this section as being the one that governs.
1 minute, Madam Chair.
Representative Hugo.
Excuse my ignorance of logic here, but why would Mr. Gierke, or may I address this, Mr. Gierke, why would someone choose not to file if money is owed?
That's a good $64 question, and that's why I have Mr. Gierke here as Exhibit A, I guess, that we would have as a person. And Jerry, why don't maybe indicate to the committee why this came about?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson and members of the committee, for allowing me to speak. The main reason in regard to your question, Representative Hugo, is that I knew that the refunds were there. It was simply a matter that with the income that I had, it was not a matter that I needed the funds, and it was kind of that I knew that I could draw upon them at any time. It was not, as a matter of ignorance, it was like a put it away for a rainy day type of a situation, and I had on a number of occasions, checked with the Department of Revenue to make sure that this was, in compliance, and had been assured repeatedly that there, would not have been any problems. As a matter of fact, I did the same thing with the with federal, because I was normally always in an overpay situation, and the federal situations were all handled. I did receive refunds from them with the timely filings, and
subsequently, this was triggered when I did, you know, files, because I had particular usage for the dollars that I had, you know, on deposit with the state, and it's when this was found out, the ambiguities in the law.
I just want to question. Bill, first of all, the federal code and the state code differ in that the federal code would allow a refund at the point of filing at any time in the future, and the state code has
I have not, Representative Hugo, I have not checked the federal code, and I don't think that that was necessarily true, say, in Mr. Gerke's case. I think what happened, now, Terry, if I'm wrong, correct me, was that in making the inquiries, which he did from time to time, on his having overpaid both the state and federal, he was advised by the federal that he had to file his return by a certain time or he would lose it. And from the standpoint of the state, he was advised, or his perception of the advice and the information was that he didn't have to file it. Isn't that basically what happened, Terry?
Yes, Representative Hugo, you know, that is exactly correct, because it was not, see, the returns were all completed and everything. It was just a matter that there was a filing period required by the federal government, in which I met those filing periods, and it would have been simply a matter of, you know, sending in the return to the state of Oregon. But, you know, I chose not to, based on the information, see, that I had received all during this time. And so it was just it was simply a matter that I rely upon the information that was furnished me, and, you know, not one of negligence.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hugo. Representative School.
Well, as I recall, going back to an information there, a couple of years ago, the times are the same, federal and state. And it seems to me that it would have been prudent, and I know you recognize that now, to consider that since there was a deadline for Fed, that you would also have inquired and made sure about whether or not there was a deadline for filing a state return, that I believe that the dates were the same.
Mr. Schoon, Representative Schoon, I appreciate that. Hindsight's a great teacher. Notwithstanding ambiguity, subsequent years, the filings have been made, except for some of the years in question. The Mr. Gerke did, and in fact, at these times, make the inquiries that you have, you've indicated, and his testimony is, and which he certified in the proceedings, is that he got different answers from the state. And if I were a state employee and I didn't particularly know these particular provisions of 316192 and the holding, and I could see how that could happen, I would give different answers too, because the general provisions as it relates to filing I think are different state than the federal.
Chair,
I don't doubt that Mr. Gerke believed that he was okay on it. Okay, but did you get that in writing, or did you send a letter to the state or anything saying, you know, what's the latest date I can file, or is there a cutoff, or anything like that? Once you knew there was for the Fed, or what, I guess, some doubts that the department would advise the person that there was no deadline.
Thank you, Representative Schoon. Yes, no, I did inquire. As a matter of fact, I even inquired in person on a, you know, on a couple of instances that the Department of Revenue's office in Portland, and was told, you know, that, you know, there wasn't a, you know, filing deadline. It was not the same as, you know, for filing federal, and so, you know, relied upon, you know, that information.
But at that time, I don't believe he had it in writing to answer your questions. Those people, it was a result of oral discussions.
Any more questions?
Well, what?
Representative
Hugo? You did receive a letter, obviously, a denial letter, that, as you're quoting in your written testimony. Why don't you explain to the committee when you found out you had just lost $18,000 or whatever it was, and how that came about?
Do you want to?
No, go ahead.
Well, it, how it first became triggered, Representative Hugo, was that when I filed a couple of the years' returns simultaneously, and I did receive then a letter from the Department of Revenue indicating that there was a filing deadline. And at that time, then, you know, I had some conversation with the Department of Revenue, and they said, well, there was nothing they could do about it. And so it was at that point, you know, that I then, you know, contacted Mr. Love and, you know, told him of my plight here, and the, you know, the circumstances that I had been involved with and, you know, what I'd been told and, you know, relied upon at that point. And so that, we've had, we did appeal to the, you know, Department of Revenue, and that appeal process is still ongoing. We have not had a, you know, a final response from them regarding the, you know, the years in question.
I have a question for Steve. Steve, does interest follow this this money on refunds?
The starting date, I'm not sure, but the department is here to can answer that.
The reason I asked that question, and in on page 3 of your testimony, we're talking about the state possesses $18,000 plus, exclusive of interest. Is it your understanding that interest would come with this principal on a refund?
It's my understanding, yes, that interest would come in on the refund.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
Representative Hanlon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The interest would be calculated at what rate?
Yeah. Whatever the state statutory rate is, the representative is, Hanlon, and I'm sorry, I don't know that. I haven't, let me say, that's my understanding. I have not checked that particular matter out in that connection because we haven't really gotten that far in the proceedings. But I think that there's whatever rate that the state charges for delayed payments of income after a period of time when the taxpayer doesn't pay, that the state pays for the use of the money. I'm not talking about penalties and things like that. I'm just talking about the interest that comes in if you don't pay your taxes on that.
If I might follow up, just to comment, I'd like the department to comment on what that rate would be and when it would start from when we have the testimony. Yeah, sure.
Representative Paul Phillips, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yes, and thank you, Chairperson Burrows and members of the committee, for the recommendation. Paul Phillips, the representative. The reason this bill was introduced, knowing that there were two other bills that could address the same problem, was a matter of fairness. As I looked through the record and went back, there was no, the Gerkes clearly didn't intend to abuse or misuse the system. They were caught up in some information gaps. We worked with the Department of Revenue. If there was a way administratively to take care of it, I certainly would have done that rather than go through a legislative process. But it seemed that it fell back on the legislature to bring about some consistency in the statutes. And in my opinion, the money is theirs, not the state's. And I felt that some retroactive action so that they could make a reasonable claim would be necessary. And thus the bills come before you. And I do appreciate your consideration. Any questions that you might have?
Any questions? I could not. But we thank you. We're so good on time to deal with the same issue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill Lovett. Thank you. Mr. Gerke.
Thank you very much.
Green Crosley, Department of Revenue.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Verlina Crosley from the Oregon Department of Revenue. In answer to the earlier questions of Representative Hamlin and Representative Hugo, the interest starting date for withholding refund would be the date the return was filed. And the rate of interest is 18%. Now that's different from the estimated tax questions that you had earlier also, because that interest starts from the due date of the return. And it begins, it's from the due date of the return, and it's also at 18%.
Chair Rose.
Okay. Yes, Representative Hanlon.
How come so high?
It changed.
How come so high?
The legislative change.
Yeah, it was a legislative change. But it's consistent with the amount that they pay us, and then we pay them 18%.
I think I can partially respond to that, Tom. During the period when prime was over 20%, we were in session and we adjusted some of these rates upward and didn't appear to put this one on a variable rate at all.
Representative Skinner, that's set by a rule by the department, and yeah, it's set forth in the statutes of how it's supposed to be set, but it is set by the department considering several factors.
Representative Hugo?
I'm sorry, because we even know it, I think, or something. You're going to pay 18% interest on the money that you withheld that is overpaid.
Overwithheld, yes, it'd be 18%.
From what starting...
On withholding refund, it is from the date the return was filed.
And if the return was never filed, obviously no interest, right? Yeah. Okay, so if we had a return from 1975 tax year and it wasn't filed in 1980, assuming that we're okay, the interest would start at that, the day it was actually filed.
That on the withholding refund, that's correct, Representative Hugo. Okay.
Is this a way then that I, as a taxpayer, were I to file an overpay, could get a higher rate of interest than I could somewhere else?
Representative Hamlin, in some cases that would be true.
I'm not going to argue with the 80% at this time. I'm not going to argue out. Senate Bill 79 has been referred to, which is a bill brought by the Revenue Department relating to 316-192. Could you explain that bill and how it differs from the bill we're considering now?
President Hugo, I don't have that bill in front of me, but the estimated tax question was sort of twofold. First of all, we've already brought one bill before this committee on the interest starting date for the estimated tax. Because right now it stems from the due date of the return and not the date filed, and so in some cases that could be more money. That was one part of the problem. And then for consistency purposes, making it closer to withholding, we were asking that there would be no refund amounts to the person, to the taxpayer, if it had not been filed for within a 2-year period. And that was for consistency with the withholding program, the current withholding program.
But those bills dealt with estimated tax, not...
With estimated tax, that's correct. Okay.
So does 179, Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Hugo.
Does 179 deal with this question that we were hearing today?
Representative Hugo, it deals with the estimated tax question. It does not deal with the withholding question that's before
us. So it's really kind of... It's apples and oranges then, is that right?
Generally speaking, yeah.
Okay.
Representative Scott?
Well, did you just say, however, that the period for the... For filing to get the money back, it's reduced to 2 years to make it conform with the withholding.
Representative Skeen, on the estimated tax, that's correct. On the bill, on Senate Bill 179, there would be a 2-year provision or requirement, like the current law under withholding in 316-192. That's correct.
Representative
Skeen. What do the feds do about overpayments of estimated taxes?
Representative Skeen, our wording is almost the same as federal.
This is a substantial change.
Pardon me?
There apparently there's no limit now, and you're intending to put a 2-year limit on which wording is
okay.
Much like the
federal. Well, an estimated tax, I can't tell you because I didn't work out the law on estimated tax for today. On withholding, the laws with the 2-year requirement, excuse me, is very similar to what the federal wording is. And I think Gary has the wording if you'd like to know what the wording is. But it is very similar in the withholding. I did not check the estimated tax laws, however.
That's
true.
Does the party have a position on House Bill 2565?
I was going to testify that we have some concern over the Section 2, the retroactive provisions. And I'm coming more from an administrative problem there. We, in many cases, won't have returns to verify what was filed for those prior years because of retention periods. So could be no verification. For example, if somebody requested a refund that had previously been denied, we would not have the return in file any longer because it probably would have been destroyed in some of those earlier years. So it's an administrative problem for us. We figure that there's about 1,200 a year that we deny on these withholding refunds that were not filed within the 2-year period, and there's an average refund of about $195 that is denied. So there would be some revenue impact, both retroactive and then prospective.
Representative Schoen?
Again, I'm trying to recollect back 2 years, but I think that the strongest argument, as I recall, for the 2-year cutoff was because it agreed with federal law. I don't remember any other arguments to have the cutoff, as a matter of fact. But that's the only one I remember. Now, it seems to me that changing the estimated, the period that the, on the estimated, if it varies, if that then varies from federal law, that you've considerably weakened the argument for having a two-year cutoff on withholdings.
There is another situation too. We consider 2 years to be current years for us, meaning they would go through our automated system. Anything over 2 years, we have to work manually. So from an administrative side, we would much prefer to work it with our computer rather than the manual system. And that's one reason why we would prefer the 2 years, both for the estimated tax and for the withholding.
Yeah, sure. Arizona school?
Well, if it requires more work and therefore more cost, it, couldn't that somehow be offset by a fee or charge or some such thing? Or non-payment of interest for some such thing?
That's right.
You mentioned that after a certain period of time, those returns are no longer available to you. That what period of time do you...
We have a retention of 7 years.
Okay. If we were to amend this thing so that this would be for 7 years, the effective date would go back 7 years. Anything beyond that would have no interest paid. So the interest would be a savings to the